When a Lama simply explains to a student that the abiding nature is beyond being something that can be bestowed by someone else upon one, it does not necessarily follow that the students all realize this. So this, the mere explanation alone is not sufficient to bring about realization. But when the students have realized this point, this reality, then they have received the supreme abhisheka. It is explained in the Treasury of Knowledge in one of the sections on Mahamudra that once you have received the abhisheka of the expressive power of awareness, which is an abhisheka that transcends being something bestowed and something received, which is the ultimate abhisheka, that if you request abhishekas that are bestowed using physical mandalas, physical substances to bestow the abhisheka, you violate your samaya. And so this section of the Treasury of Knowledge so far hasn't been translated. Rinpoche says, I think it's better at this point not to translate it and make it available to all of you, that it will cause you lots of difficulties. But what you should understand is the point of such statements. And the point is that once you've received such an ultimate abhisheka, that it's considered a sign of not having confidence in that to then request abhishekas that are given using physical objects. However, if you have received such an ultimate abhisheka and then you go on to also request abhishekas that are that use physical objects, you can simply confess such a violation of your samaya, and that will be fine. So the main point right now is that if we look at this song of Milarepa's called The Four Supreme Things and the 11 Supreme Things, it will clarify and make it very easy to understand the point of the 27th chapter, an examination of views. So now we don't have very much. Konsu Drumena. Drumena.
Drumena.
Kasna Kashi Kana Drogo Gido. Degimare.
Oh, yeah.
Konsu Gijiwa Shu.
Then it's a Madoga. Drogo Mizu Mizu Mizu. Then Gomizu Kalejo Drogo.
So now we don't have very much time left, but since this is the last session for some of you, we'll use this time at first to take any questions that you might have. So those of you who are leaving, please ask your questions, and those of you who are staying, please hold your questions so that those who are leaving get a chance to ask. And if there are no questions or if we have time, then we will conclude with Vajra songs and dance. And this time that we're talking about is not real. It's simply a dependent arising. When you don't realize emptiness, then time appears to you the way things appear to you in your dreams when you don't recognize that you're dreaming. But when you do realize emptiness, then time is just like time in a dream when you know that you're dreaming. And then from the final abiding nature perspective, there are no conceptual elaborations which can be applied to time. It doesn't exist, it doesn't not exist, it's not both, neither. So those of you who are leaving this evening, please raise your hands. How many are? Then. Kanga.
Tiwa Morangi. Tiwa Mare. Consum Susu Drogene.
Oh, Tema was a Tarabai. Dome is a Tabai in Katedula.
Okay, yeah, sorry, I asked that wrong. How many of you who are leaving have questions?
Dome is a.
Raise your hand high. This one?
King Matamudo Tajin.
Any other kitchen? Other kitchen?
Rinpoche, how do we practice these ideas or material that you've presented?
Shiram Nima. Nyam Sulen Kande Zogo Wido. The Sun of Wisdom is a presentation of three great texts together with the Heart of Wisdom Sutra. And the first thing that you should do is to study the book very well, become familiar with the logical reasonings that are presented, and gain certainty in their meaning. And when you've gained certainty in them, then you have the next step. That's called the view, when you have certainty. Then the next step is the meditation. And there are basically two ways to meditate. What you're doing is cultivating the certainty now in meditation. And the way that you do that is either according to the view of the meditation instructions of the autonomy school or the consequence school. So the autonomy school is just to rest in mere emptiness that is like space. The true nature of reality is simply emptiness, and you rest in that. The way the consequence school teaches to meditate is to realize that the object that you're meditating on, Dharma Dhatu, the true nature of reality, is beyond any idea of what it might be. Existent, non-existent, empty, not empty, whatever. It's beyond all conceptual fabrications. And so your mind that's meditating on that, when you know that, stops fabricating. And so the object of meditation, Dharma Dhatu, and the meditating mind are undifferentiable, like water poured into water, like melted butter poured into melted butter, like milk poured into milk. In the Kagyu tradition, whatever the view is that's explained, the meditation that's taught is from the perspective of Mahamudra teachings. And so it's an extraordinary way of meditating because it combines a view like this with Mahamudra. So for example, Milarepa sang, when you realize this, whatever appears is mind. Throughout the day and night, look at your mind. When you look at your mind, you don't see anything. When you don't see anything, let go and relax. So the first part, throughout the day and night, look at your mind. That's the view. When you look at your mind, you don't see anything. When you don't see anything, let go and relax. That's the meditation. It's Ma Mudra that's in harmony with the second turning of the wheel of Dharma. And so in short, read the book, gain certainty in its meaning, and meditate according to either the view of the autonomy school or the consequence school, and then practice Ma Mudra meditation by looking straight at the essence of mind. Beyond all conceptual fabrication, look straight at it, let go and relax. That's Ma Mudra, that's in harmony with the second turning of the wheel of Dharma. If you wanted to do things from the perspective of the third turning of the wheel of Dharma, then to learn the view, you would study the treatise on the Buddha nature, the Uttara Tantra Shastra. And then by doing that, you would read the brief presentation of the Buddha nature that is given in the form of three reasons why all sentient beings have it. Then the extensive presentation of the Buddha nature that's given in the form of the presentation of its 10 aspects, and then the nine examples for how it could be present at the same time covered by adventitious stains. And gaining certainty in the Buddha nature in that way, you would meditate by looking directly at the nature of mind, luminous clarity and emptiness, and resting within that. That's Ma, Mudra, and Harmony with the third turning of the wheel. And if you are practicing the tradition of mantra Mahamudra, then you would request, for example, the third Abhisheka and use it or another method to give rise to passion and look at the essential nature of that, which is bliss and emptiness, and rest in that, and in that way realize that the true nature of mind is bliss and emptiness. It's like that. Now we'll sing the song of Mahamudra. What page is it on, Dennis?
Page three.
At the time I meditated on Mahamudra, I rest without struggle in actual real being. I rest relaxed in a free from wander in space. I rest in a clarity cradled in emptiness space. I rest in awareness, and this is blissful space. I rest unruffled in non-conceptual space. In variety space, I rest in equipoise. And resting like this is native mind itself. A wealth of certainty manifests endlessly without even trying. Self-luminous mind is at work, not stuck in expecting results. I'm doing okay. No dualism, no hopes and fears, ho hey. Delusion as wisdom, now that's being cheerful and bright. Delusion transformed into wisdom, now that's all right. So Walker and friends are now going to sing and dance Milarepa's song about the miracles of flying like a vulture. And because you have to know what you can do when you attain siddhi. You can go in a circle around if you like.
Yeah.
If you have lots of friends when you dance, then it's beautiful. If it's just a solo, it's not so nice. It, but if it is one person who is a very good dancer, then that looks pretty good. So that was not bad, but please stand up again. Because the lightning flash wasn't strong enough. And the hawk diving wasn't sharp enough. It wasn't swift enough. So you need to put a little more energy into those movements.
Like a vulture flies, that's how I fly. And like a hawk dies, that's how I die. And the lightning strike is how fast I am. And the leaping wind, that's how I jump.
Probably you have to sing each one three times in a row, because there should be more time with the forceful with the strong movements, not just at the end. So if you extend it out, if you extend all the movements out over the period of time of singing each one three times, yeah, then you'll have enough time to make it all look good. And also, you have to think of yourself as an empty form. And you can even think of yourself as Milarepa. Because when you do the Guru Rinpoche, Guru Yoga, then you see yourself as Guru Rinpoche. So you can see yourself as Milarepa now.
Yeah. Okay.
Like a vulture flies, that's how I fly. Like a vulture flies, that's how
go.
I fly.
Move. Stronger. The hawk flies fast. The hawk flies fast and dives. Swoop.
Throughout the whole thing, yeah.
Fast. Strike. So we're in for some choreographic changes here. You've probably never seen a hawk swoop, have you? When a hawk swoops, it doesn't have its wings out. It has its wings at its sides, and it just goes straight down. Yeah, and then run like that. Yeah, that's, yeah. That's better. Okay, now we'll pick it up from the hawk. Now we're going to sing and dance to the 15 follow behind this repa that we sang the first night. And we need more people to dance. So whoever wants to dance can come up. This song is quite profound, and it explains everything right up to Maha Mudra, but when you dance it, it's also like a little kid's dance, so it's fun. Anybody else wants to dance? Page 31. So we'll sing it slow so people can get the idea.
Okay, and we're going to go around, so I should be...
Yekor.
So I'm going
to go around the room this way.
Tilo, eats the fish. Tilo Naro and the translator Marpa. These three are Yogi Milarepa's lamas. If these three lamas are good enough for you, then follow behind this repa. The lamas, yidams, and Dakinis. Milarepa makes his offerings to these three. Making offerings to them is good enough for you. And follow behind this repa. The Buddha. The Buddha, the Dharma, and the
Rapa goes for refuge to these three. If asking them for refuge is good enough for you, then follow behind this Rapa. The view, meditation, and the conduct. These are the practices of Milarepa. If these three practices are good enough for you, then follow behind this Rapa. Snow mountains, granite mountains, and mountains of earth. These three are where Mila does retreat. If these three places are good enough for you, then follow behind this Rapa. Antelope,
just one horn.
Antelope, deer, now lots of horns. And mountain sheep. These three are Gimila Rapa's livestock. If these three livestock are good enough for you, follow behind this Rapa. Ground, oh, sorry, lynx, lynx, coyote, and mountain wolf. These three are Yogi Milarepa's guard dogs. If these three guard dogs are good enough for you, then follow behind this Rapa. Grouse, nightingale, and big vultures. These three are Yogi Milarepa's housebirds. If these three housebirds are good enough for you, then follow behind this Rapa. The sun, the moon, and the stars. These three are Yogi Milarepa's vistas. These three vistas are good enough for you, then follow behind this Rapa. Gods and demons and some rishis. These three are Yogi Milarepa's neighbors. If these three neighbors are good enough for you, then follow behind this Rapa. Monkeys langurs. And gorillas. These three are Yogi Milarepa's playmates. These three playmates are good enough for you, then follow behind this Rapa. Bliss, luminosity, and non-thought. When Mila feels down, these three cheer him up. If their cheer is good enough for you, then follow behind this Rapa. Nettles and garlic and leafy greens. These three are what Mila Rapa eats. If these three foods are good enough for you, then follow behind this Rapa. from the hills, the snow and earth. These three are what Milarepa drinks. If these three drinks are good enough for you, then follow behind this repa. Nadi and prana and bindu three. These three are Mila, these are the clothes Milarepa wears. If these three clothes are good enough for you, then follow behind this repa. Now we'll sing again the song of the miracle of the wild asses, which is on page 126. Rela. So this song, actually, there are 100 wild asses, so that means we need lots of volunteers.
And actually what happens then is because the ass itself turns into the wolf, so that is the what is to be abandoned actually turns into the remedy. What is to be abandoned itself becomes the remedy. And then all the asses run over the pass, and that's the kleshas being self-liberated. You are like TV asses. He's going to be a TV ass and then a TV wolf.
Oi, hi.
Hey, listen up, raise your bar on this Sunday night.
So I'll sing and then you don't have to look at the book. So when you're going up, you bump on the right, you bump the person to your right. And then when you're going down, you bump the person to your left. This is the big boulder at the steep mountain pass. The ones going up, bang it on the right. And the ones coming down, bang it on the left. If you hit it with 100 hammers, it would not break. If you lit 100 fires under it, it would not melt. But if you want to knead it like dough, you knead it like this. If you want to pour it like water, you pour it like this. If you want to squish in it like mud, you squish in it like this. And if you want to shoot it like an arrow, you shoot it like this.
Listen.
Now, Walker, you sing and I get to dance.
Hey, Rachel, bus,
Son, listen up. This is the big boulder at the steep mountain pass. The ones going up banging on the right. And the ones going down, they bang it on the left. If you hit it with 100 hammers, it would not break. If you lit 100 fires under it, it would not melt. But if you want to knead it like dough, you knead it like this. If you want to pour it like water, you pour it like this. If you want to squish in it like mud, you squish in it like this. And if you want to shoot it like an arrow, you shoot it like this.
So we'll take a half hour for questions. And everybody please ask one question if you have, and then if there's something left over that's unclear from the answer about your question, then somebody else can ask about it. And also when you ask, then please ask concisely. Don't give your own explanation, but just ask the question concisely. So, who has a question?
Yeah,
And also the question has to be about the Sun of Wisdom.
Rinpoche, my question is, if it's about dying, and if the body and the death does not actually occur, doesn't actually cease, and the mind is not of any substance or any matter, then the mind, there's no coming and going. I'm wondering where does the mind go? I mean, you know, because I don't know. And can you still communicate with that previous mind as we knew it in somebody's body? Does that make any sense?
Not the just the last part I didn't get.
On a relative basis, it appears that somebody has died, and I have no idea where their mind is.
Oh, can you communicate with the person who?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Chiwa madrupa yena tang sem yip tang kado mena dene chiwe jesu sem kavar jogido na hako maso.
Oh, tele lawre. Tanda hewa. Kewa me bete ne hewa me bare. Kek ton tamper kekele de na yang. Kunzum tu. Then yeah, wrong young mother bare wrong ta ko likhe do wa wrong young mother bare ke he young mother bare ke wa ma so wrong young mother bare ine young ten ten nang ta do ke he da wrong se ba te ten ten nang ta
tene me chi shiwe jesu kong la tsende de la kecha she tu kiduge ngon shi na kecha she tu kiduge
te te young drama da so bare ten ten nang ta
That's an easy question. Because once we know that birth doesn't actually exist, we know that death doesn't truly exist either, and there is really no coming or going. And so at the same time, though, there's an appearance of all of these, and those are dependently arisen mere appearances. Birth is just a mere appearance, and death is also a mere appearance. They don't truly exist. If the one who died were the same as the one who was in the bardo, then that would be permanence. The one who died would be permanent, because the one who died would be the same as the one who went around in the bardo, and would be the same as the one born in the next lifetime. That would be the extreme of permanence. If the one who died and the one in the bardo and the one in the next life were totally non-existent, that would be nihilism. And then you asked about the communication, and Rinpoche said there are lots of different things going on like that, but that also is just all dependently arisen mere appearance. That's the way to understand it. From one perspective, the way it's described as being just a name, just a conceptual imputation. Also, you could say it's a dependently arisen mere appearance. They really mean the same thing. When you talk about the quality of conventional or relative appearances, one way that they're described by the middle way is to say that they're just names. Whatever appears is just a name. It's just a conceptual imputation.
And actually, those two mean the same thing because the name is conceptually imputed. So when you say it's a name, you're also just saying it's a conceptual imputation. If the one who died were the same as the one in the bardo, and the same as the one who was born at the future lives, in the future lifetime, that wouldn't be good. Because you'd have three times as many problems. You'd have all the suffering from death, and you'd have all the suffering and anxiety from going around in the bardo, and then you'd have all the suffering and anxiety worrying about where you were going to be born. So that wouldn't be good, but fortunately it's not like that, because these three exist just as names, just as conceptual imputations. Once a scientist said to me, you know, all religions are the same. They all just try to scare people. And Buddhism is the same because it says after you die, you have to wander around in the bardo, and then you don't know where you're going to be born in some place in samsara. This is the difference between this and an explanation that gives rise to fear, really, is that this is not saying that these truly exist. They're just dependently arisen mere appearances. They're just names. They're just conceptual imputations. So this is not an explanation about that's whose purpose is to cause fear. If it was explained that these were truly existent, then the scientist would be right, because it would be an explanation that would say your suffering doesn't end when you die. Then you have to go through the confusion of the 49 days of the bardo and all this other confused suffering while your relatives are miserable that you've died. And then you have to be reborn somewhere, and it could be worse than the last time. So then all of that would be an explanation of a lot of suffering that would produce a lot of fear if it were explained to be truly existent. So there are certainly aspects of the explanation that are scary, like the part where they say that when you die, the Lord of Death comes and ropes you around the neck with his lasso and drags you off to the lower realms if you've done negative things. But the point of that explanation is to inspire fear so that you enter the practice of the Dharma. It's not saying that it's truly existent. So that's an explanation for beginners to get them to enter the Dharma. The ultimate explanation is given by Milarepa, for example, in the song The Authentic Portrait of the Middle Way, where he sings, there is no karmic act, no maturation. So even the, and also Emma, the phenomena of the three realms of samsara, while not existing, they appear, how incredibly amazing. That's the ultimate explanation. It's like that.
Okay.
You asked a good question, and I gave a good answer.
My answer was in harmony with the both sutra and tantra, and from said mostly from the perspective of the second turning of the wheel of Dharma. It was in harmony with the sutras because, as the Heart of Wisdom Sutra teaches, there's no ignorance nor any ending of ignorance, no aging and death nor any ending of aging and death, and nothing in between. It was in harmony with the songs of the Mahasiddhas because, as Milarepa sang, there is no karmic act, no maturation, so even the name samsara does not exist. What the middle way explains about all of the different religious traditions' views about God or gods or their whatever their characteristics are is that all of these exist just as names, just as conceptual imputations. And all the different kinds of conduct that these religious traditions espouse are all the same. They are valid and real from the perspective of the person's thoughts who is performing them. And that also is just dependently arisen mere appearance. So they are all equally just names, just conceptual imputations, just dependently arisen. It's like that. Now what question do you have?
Rinpoche, we're not too far apart in age. There is a big difference. I started Buddhism a week ago, and you have practiced it a lifetime. And my question is this. If you were immersed into this class when you first started Buddhism, with the knowledge that you have now, what knowledge would you give me after 1 week of instruction?
Kontan Rinpoche, lo palchir chikpare.
Oh, yeah.
Yineyang nyamnyong la kepar chenpodo. Karesana kong nangpa dunda chikma to droma song. Dene kong dabu yina, da Rinpoche la nyamnyong chenpodo. Dene kong gi kong dabu yina, dunda chik ne ngumane nampechur gotsuk song. Danda Sherab Nima Gikola Weekend Jigla Pe Shukchembo Lobjong Cheso. Then I remember taking Yamnyong Latene, Da Kongi Kare Hako Gogido.
Tianangde Tatarje Nawande Nadong Nadong Yemeva, Malam Tabo, Lonye Tabo, Jota Tabo Hakono, then in the Penyam Yon Tabje Tena Yichipore. Mamba Yam Yon Teta Chipore.
If you know that, all of the present things that appear to you right here and now are appearance and emptiness, like dreams, like movies, like water moons, then all of our past appearances are actually the same. And all of our future experiences are the same. You're coming from a past life to this life, and you're going from this life to next, are not truly existent. These movements are just like the movements of a moon on a pool of water. If you go whatever direction you go around that lake, that's where the moon follows you, and you could go as far as you wanted to or whatever, but all the movement of the moon is just a dependently arisen mere appearance. There's no real movement at all.
As Nagarjuna also wrote, when you know the emptiness of one thing, you know the emptiness of everything. Because when you figure out the reason why one thing is empty, all other things are empty for the same reason. The view of one is the view of all. So that's why it's actually not difficult. Just need to figure out the emptiness of one thing, and then you know the emptiness of everything.
Simple.
To say my experience, I have a lot of experience and you have a little experience, those are just dependently existent. A lot depends on a little depends on a lot. Therefore, neither one of them truly exists. They're of the nature of equality. Whatever is the nature of the Tathagata, that is the nature of wandering beings. The Tathagata, the Buddhas and sentient beings are equality. So you have to remember the view of equality. And also the thought that remembers the view has no inherent nature either. It's like that.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you.
Your question also was excellent, and my answer also came from Nagarjuna, so it was good. This is also a good example of dependently arisen mere appearance, because it's not a sentient being, but it still laughs. And it doesn't just depend on one cause or one condition, but a coming together of a whole collection of causes and conditions. Because that he is laughing is also just our own conceptual projection. Laughter exists only as a concept. Morangi diwa di diya.
Trapa trika do. Trapa po me, mepe trapa yang taba mena yang, tete nang tata malang taba trapa yi.
There's actually no questioner and there's no question. The questioner and question are just dependently arisen mere appearances like in a dream. Differences in questions come in that ordinary beings cling to questions as being truly existent. Noble beings know that questions are dependently arisen mere appearances.
Yeah.
If everything is a dependently arisen mere appearance, then the conditions and causes they're dependent upon and arising from are also mere dependently arisen mere appearances. Is this correct?
Chinangi ngopo tamche tenjing drelwar jungwa yina dene detsogi gyutang kien yang tendrelrebe. Yes. They're all dependently arisen mere appearances. That's why Nagarjuna said, there's not a single phenomenon that is not dependently arisen, and therefore there's not a single phenomenon that is not empty. And if it is dependently arisen, it is definitely of the nature of emptiness, just like appearances in a dream. Like a water moon, like a rainbow. Like a movie. If you make a movie, we'll be able to watch it years after you're dead.
That's a lot of work.
Thank you, Rinpoche.
I'm the same. Next. There's about 10 minutes. Short question. Really, there is no long and short in genuine reality. But long and short do appear as dependently arisen mere appearances.
You mentioned in practice, in the first question about how to practice the view of this book, and at the end we talked about how if you realize the nature of desire, then you can realize the nature of mind is bliss emptiness. And I'm wondering, from a kind of beginner's standpoint, how do we relate to, what's the difference between just the ordinary experience of desire versus how we can use desire from the point of view of the practices based on this book?
How can you realize the true nature of desire based on the practices in the book?
Yeah, and one, how to practice, and two, what's the difference between just an ordinary experience of desire?
In that.
Right.
Rinpoche gi shirab nima kande gom gogido, nyamen kande zo gogido, sung sung. Dene yang ducha gingo detong gom sol yore yang sung sung. Dene kongi kaji ducha rangsen batang ducha gingo la kepar nyamnyong gi wandu chena kepar kareyare.
Ducha rangsen ba, ducha rangsen ba rang yin ji trupu ducha yomon, ducha tam chi trupa ta trawari. Trupa ta trawari se nang wola trama mamba do ni tapare. Dene yang ducha tepe lo la gongso chepa chere, te heba la kapsa mawa so.
Maso. Dene shirab Nima la tene ducha kingo gomtsu yorebe.
Yeah, trupa ta trawa.
Nasa.
Trupa ta trawa tondo la rang yin ji hewa dewa open yin la uche.
Actually, there is no truly existent experience of desire because there is no truly existent desire. All desire is empty of any essence. Its true nature is beyond conceptual fabrications. And in the Vajrayana, there are special methods taught of how to meditate on the essential nature of desire. It's not the right time to go on into those here, but you can use the Sun of Wisdom to help you determine that desire does not truly exist, and then that desire's true nature is beyond conceptual fabrication. And so in that transcendence of conceptual fabrication, there's no stain, and so therefore it's of the nature of perfect purity. And if you gain certainty on that and meditate on that, then the experience is open, spacious, and relaxed. You can see that the one who experiences the desire does not truly exist, and the one who is the object of the desire is not a real self either. There's no self there. And so the desire doesn't truly exist either. So all three in their nature are beyond conceptual fabrication. And the more you know that, the more you have inner peace and happiness. The desire doesn't actually come or go. And that's essential reality. And that's also peace. When you realize that the true nature of desire is beyond all conceptual fabrication, then it doesn't cause you attachment or aversion. If you don't recognize its true nature, then it causes you to feel attachment and aversion.
Mm-hmm. tekwa chenpo lo lo yore. Pena dada tronche chenpo matangpo tsoba tsu, tene shenka lo lo na lo yore, lo yore churwe shenpa na lo tore. Tena yi, tene nyenzu na la panza yinpa ten doja de, tekwa chenpo lo la panza ma re lanza le tore.
In the Shravakayana, its desire is considered something to be abandoned, but in the Mayana and the Vajrayana, it's considered to be what you meditate on. And the example for that is the example of manure, excrement, which is something to be abandoned in the city, but which is something to be used on a farm. So actually, in the Mayana, desire is not something to get rid of, it's your friend, because you meditate on its true nature. The true nature of all kleshas is the same, but since residents of the desire realm experience a lot of desire, then that's why one determines first that the true nature of desire is perfectly pure. In the Mayana, anger is considered to be something to be gotten rid of, because anger agitates your mind, and if you act out of it, you can hurt others. But desire is not to be abandoned, because when you feel desire for somebody, then that makes them appear pleasant to you. And then you love them. And that's the stages of meditating on bodhicitta. So desire is the same as love. You don't get rid of it. It's like that.
Can we practice this way right from the beginning, as a beginner?
Danda ne le tampo pa yena, danda ne Rinpoche ki danda sungpa nangshin nyamlen zona digi digi. Yes. Now let's sing the song of the profound definitive meaning sung on the snowy range. Page 11. Does somebody not have their book? Because this one isn't mine. Oh. Supreme Guru, I bow down at your feet. The cities of blessings come straight from the Dakinis. Samaya's nectar is the most nourishing drink. Your offering of faith has kept me so healthy. This way of gathering merit, it works quite well. For the mind that masters view, the emptiness dawns. In the content scene, not even an atom exists. A seer and seen, refined until they're gone. This way of realizing view, it works quite well. When meditation is clear light river flow, there is no need to confine it to sessions and breaks. Meditator and object,
refined until they're gone. This heart bone of meditation, it beats quite well. When you're sure that conduct's work is luminous light, and you're sure that interdependence is emptiness, a doer and deed refined until they're gone. This way of working with conduct, it works quite well. When pious thinking has vanished into space, no phony facades, eight dhammas, nor hopes and fears, a keeper and kept, refined until they're gone. This way of keeping samaya, it works quite well. When you finally discovered your mind is dharmakaya, and you're really doing yourself and others good, a winner and one, refined until they're gone. This way of winning results, it works quite well. Oh, faithful students, to answer your request, this old man is singing a song of happiness. The snow fell and sealed me in my retreat, where the darkness gave me all I need. The pure snow water was so delicious, with nobody practicing, practice was glorious. Without ever working, the harvest was perfectly reaped. Without accumulating wealth, the treasure chest was filled. Looking at mind, I see everything. By staying low, I have come to seize the throne. I have reached the highest peak. That's the Guru's kindness to me. Now, sons and daughters, students gathered here, in answer to your faithful service, I sing this song, teaching you the true Dharma. My benefactors, may it fill your hearts with joy. May all your hearts be filled with joy.
Yola. Now we'll sing the song of friends who are free of attachment and full of love.
Friends are empty forms, just like a water moon. To think of them as being truly real will only make your many sufferings increase. To know they're empty forms, just like a water moon, will make illusion like some muddy increase. Compassion free of clinging will increase, and non-referential view will also increase. And meditation that's fixation free and conduct free of do-a-deed increase of all the many marvels. This by far the most marvelous of all the many wonders. This the most wonderful. If you are free of attachment and full of love, then you won't suffer. If you are free of attachment and full of love, you won't experience attachment and aversion. That's why being free of attachment and full of love is important. You could say that the essence of Mahayana practice is to be free of attachment and full of love. And in order to train in being free of attachment, you need to know emptiness. You need to know that things don't truly exist. And to do that, then study the Sun of Wisdom, which brings together the three great texts and the Heart of Wisdom Sutra. You have love and caring for others, because even though it's true that all appearances are appearance and emptiness, people, sentient beings, cling to that as being truly existent and suffer as a result, and so we feel compassion for them and we care about them. If you don't practice being free of attachment and full of love, then you will experience attachment and aversion. It's like that. Know it. Don't forget it. Remember it again and again. So we'll make Milarepa's aspiration prayer to close. It's the best aspiration you could make. It's on page 11, the last four lines of the storybook. Sorry, storybook. May we live long and be free of illness, enjoy freedom, great resources, and happiness. Next life may we meet in the pure realm. May we always practice Dharma and benefit beings.
As a number, telling the Gagadu, Name in a Gagadu, deje banjo de dena gagdu khena khala che na gagdu khala churo so da nyam bo che se na gagdu chu se pa dev ye do nyam bo na gagdu te yam mona de yam.
This prayer is excellent because it's in harmony with everything that we want in our concepts. We all would like to live long, and while living long, to be free of illness, and while living long and being free of illness, to be have enjoy freedom and resources and happiness, and when we die, to be reborn in the pure realm, not alone, but together with our Dharma friends, and to practice the Dharma, and have the result of that Dharma practice to be that we benefit others.
Hello.
It's like that. Now it would be good for all sentient beings with whom we have good and bad connections to make an aspiration prayer.
All you sentient beings, I have a good or bad connection with, as soon as you have this confused dimension, may you be born in the Western Sukhava.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva.